we have been in these few Sundays during the month of December, speaking about the reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you, choir, Brother Linwood. That's an awesome song. And Jesus, Christmas is Jesus, amen. And I want to read to you repetitiously some of the scriptures I've read in these last few days, but I want to go back to the book of Matthew, and we'll start there this morning again. And I want to read these in our hearings, and maybe next Sunday we'll share some, but in Matthew chapter number 1, look at verse number 20. He's talking about Joseph. The Holy Ghost has told Joseph already about Mary, that the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow her. And then he wanted to put her away privately. He didn't know how the embarrassment would be about her or whatever. But here's what the Holy Ghost of God says to him in verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Leave off the reading now. Will you turn over to the book of Luke? Turn to the book of Luke, and let's look once again in chapter number 1 in the book of Luke, and in verse number 30. Chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And thank the Lord for that. Look down, if you will, please, and a little further in chapter number 2. Go over to chapter number 2 and look at verse number 9. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the sweet spirit in the house of God this morning. Thank you, our Father, for the Sunday school hour and all of our Bible teachers from the nursery through the senior adults. Lord, thank you for the great singing this morning of the congregation, Brother LaVon, Miss Brenda. Lord, I was blessed. Oh, Lord, what a blessing this morning. Brother Craig, and God, how you've gifted him, and God, for all the work that's been done. And I pray, God, you'd bless the services tonight. I pray, God, that you'd meet with us in a special way. Lord, thank you for Brother Linwood and how for all of these 12 months this year, he's done a fantastic job leading the choir. Lord, these last few Sundays especially blessed my heart with the beautiful song selections about Christ and Christmas. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost would breathe on me. Lord, I can't do a thing in the world. But Lord, you didn't send your son to suffer and bleed and die and then just leave it up to us. I'm glad for the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. You're not willing that any should perish. And so, Father, I pray for our friends here in the building and in the media audience that, God, you would deal with them. Holy Ghost of God, convict them. Make Jesus real to them. And I pray, God, they know the wonderful gift of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ from the youngest to the oldest today. And our Father, I bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would speak. If anybody gets helped, anybody gets blessed, it'll have to be you. And I'll thank you for what you do now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm like Brother LaVon. I love this time of the year. Amen. And I'm excited about the program tonight. I do want to remind you that the service, the start time officially is 6:30. But at 6:15, we're going to have a pre-show. There'll be music and all. So get in here early. Come on. I've invited some friends out in the community, and they said they were going to be here at 6 o'clock. Make sure they can get a seat. And so you can get in here at 6 if you want to. But the pre-show will start at 6:15. All of our friends in the media, please bring your family over tonight. And you're going to be blessed in the services tonight. And then officially start at 6:30. I'm excited about what God's going to do. Aren't you glad you're saved? Say amen. Amen. And what makes Christmas special is Christ in our hearts. He came to live inside of us. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, with us. And I'm thankful for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God in every believer in here. And he helps us to understand the true meaning of Christmas. I feel so sorry for people who don't understand and don't know what Christmas is all about. Their joy is shallow and very brief, and there'll be a deep depression shortly after when all the bills start coming in. But I'm glad to know that you can be happy in your heart all year long because Jesus Christ is a real Savior. I preached on the first message of this little series that Jesus Christ is a personal Savior. He said, I bring unto you, it's a personal message. He's a personal Savior, and you have to know him. In talking with Nicodemus, Jesus talked about you must be born again. People must be born again. And there were questions back and forth. But then Jesus makes it very clear to Nicodemus, a religious man who was lost. He said, you must be born again. And Jesus is a personal Savior. I'm glad for that. But then last week, we looked at the fact that he said, the Holy Ghost of God said, the Holy Spirit of God is going to come upon her, and that which is conceived in her, that holy thing will be of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ was God incarnate in human flesh. He was absolutely perfect. His human body was like mine and your body. It suffered from what we call the sinless infirmities. Jesus became hungry. God the Father's never been hungry. Jesus became tired and weary, and the Father never has. As God, he was one thing, but as man, he was something else. He was a unique God-man. But in his body, he was perfect. Perfect in his obedience to the Word of God. Perfect in his obedience to the will of the Father. Perfect in his sacrifice as a spotless lamb. And perfect in his salvation. But now, this morning, I had mentioned to some of our folk in the morning service or either Wednesday night service that I was going to look at the possibility that he was a prophesied Savior, because it says all of this happened to fulfill Scripture, and it did. The place of his birth was prophesied, the star, all of that, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and so many things about his life that had been fulfilled, and those are wonderful truths. But through the week, God began to work in my heart a different way, and as early as Friday, he began to point me toward something else, and I already had it written down as a fourth message in the series, but his timing's better than my timing. And I want to say to you this morning, not only is he a personal Savior, and not only is he a perfect Savior, but my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, for me and you both, is a powerful Savior. He showed his power and his manhood while he was in his ministry. Public ministry only lasted a little over 3 years, but he demonstrated his great power. The Bible I did not read in Matthew, where it says, but with God all things are possible. If I were to put that where I could understand it, you can understand it in good old Johnson County language, it means this: it ain't nothing he can't do. It ain't nothing he can't do. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we are able to ask or think. I can think pretty big. I can think about things that we could do and ought to do and should do around here. But I don't care what it is, whatever I think about. If I think about a huge family life center up here, if I think about 500 or 600 kids a week going in and out of there and upward basketball and all those things, and souls getting saved and families getting saved, getting baptized, and even to where this building's overflowing, we had to build another orchard, I can think pretty big. But listen to what it says. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we are able to ask or to think. I'm telling you, God can do more than we can think. He's able to do anything. And in His life, the Lord Jesus Christ exhibited His power over what we call nature. It's rather, I like to use the word creation. He was Lord of all creation. He had power over everything. I believe He makes the sun to rise and set, the tides to go in and out. I know He feeds the birds and all everything else. He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. Greg Fisher will tell you, you got to have this kind of pressure and that kind of pressure, this much moisture, percentage of this and percentage of that. But the Lord, Bible said, God makes it rain. You know what? He can make it snow when it ain't supposed to snow. He can make it not rain when it's supposed to rain. A couple of years ago, I got up. We were going to have this big, big blizzard come through. And I went outside. There was nothing on the ground. On top of my pump house, there was just a little bit, looked like somebody's dropped a little bit of grits on top of my pump house. And I took a picture of it. And I said, the blizzard of 2023, I'll never forget it. But God makes it rain. And He has power over that. But all in His ministry, you saw Him, His power. Remember that time when He was on the ship? And the Bible says He was in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and the seas became boisterous. The boat began to fill with water. Now understand, these are not your weekend boaters. These are men, watermen. They've lived on the water all their life. They knew everything there was to know about a boat, about the times and the seasons and the storms and about what it caused a boat to sink. And they knew they were in trouble. They didn't just panic. It was real. They were in jeopardy. And they go back and they shake Him and they say, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He walks out on the deck of that boat and He rebukes them because of their lack of faith. But then He says, peace be still. And that ocean lay down slick as a piece of glass. And they stood there like Tom Gillum said, with their mouth open, scratching their head. And here's what they said. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey Him? I'm telling you right now, He's a powerful Savior. He's got power over the rain. He's got power over the wind, power over the waves. He's got all kind of power. But He also demonstrated His power over disease. Oh, He opened blind eyes. He healed lame limbs. And even the deadly sin of leprosy. I have a series a message I was preaching. Boy, God just helped me. You remember the lepers that came to Him? And leprosy, we don't hear a lot about it now, but it's a horrible disease. Isaiah cries the cry of the leper when he said, woe is me, I'm undone. That word undone means disjointed. Leprosy is a cancerous type disease that eats away the tissue of your body. It destroys the body, the digits, the fingers, everything, ears, eye, a nose, face, skin begins literally to rot off the bones. It's a horrible, incurable disease. And in the Old Testament, if anybody was diagnosed with it, everything they touched had to be burned. They had to be isolated from the camp. It was so contagious. They lost their family. They lost their religion. They lost their income. They lost everything. And all they could do was wander through the countryside and cry and say, woe is me. Woe is me. So nobody could get close to them. And there's a leper who came one day and he fell in front of Jesus. And he said, Jesus, if You will, You could speak the word and make me whole. And here's what happened, the amazing thing. The Bible said Jesus listened to his request and he reached forth his hand and he touched him and immediately he was healed from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. The leper was right. He could have spoke to him, but he touched him. He touched, and anything that touches that leper is unclean. The bedding had to be burned. His house, anything in there had to be destroyed that he touched. He couldn't be around anything. Because everything the sinner touched, the leper touched, became unclean. But here's the lesson. But everything Jesus touches becomes clean. Hallelujah. Jesus had power over sin. He had power over sickness. He had power over bondage. You remember the young demoniac, the man full of demons? The Bible said they could not constrain him. They put chains on him. He'd break those asunder. And Jesus stepped on shore. He came running to him, the demons crying out against Jesus. And he came and Jesus made him every whit whole. And when they came back, they found him clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He demonstrated his power over disease, over demons, over Satan, and over death. Lazarus, their friend, had died. He waited and he arrived 4 days late. And they said, it's too late by now. His body's decaying and he stinks. But he said, stand back. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And my dear friend, Lazarus came forth out of that grave. He was victorious over death. He has power. He's a powerful Savior, demonstrated in his life, in his ministry, over nature, over sin, over disease, over everything. He's able and he's powerful. You have a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the narrative about his birth, it doesn't categorize all the miracles he'll do, all the his power over nature, his power to provide substance and food for every living creature. The book of Colossians said, by him all things consist. That means everything's held together. Everything you see according to the Word of God is made up with things that you can't see, made up with atoms. Inside of atom, there's protons, neutrons, and there's movement in every atom. It's going around and around and around. And so every atom, and when you take things you can't see and you pile them up, you make a human being out of them. You make a table out of them, make a tree out of them. My dear friend, were it not for something holding them together, they just go every which way. And the Bible said, by him all things consist. Have you ever thought about living on this earth? We have what we call gravity. I don't understand all that. You don't understand all that. But I know this. I know as a boy, we used to have a homemade merry-go-round. And you get on that thing and you could, different one, you know, you get four people on there and they'd push it around and push it around. And it was fun until you got some big old boy come in there and he wanted to see how fast he could make it go. And so everything was a blur. He was going, yow, 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 everything, trees going by and everything else. And the next thing you know, you lose your balance and you go flying off out in the yard somewhere. It's not as much fun anymore. And you know, without Christ and without his power holding everything together, this whole world would explode and go into nothingness. By him all things consist. We're held in the palm of his hand, the Bible said. But in the narrative about his birth, there's only one element that he talks about. He said, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I'd say to you this morning, he's a powerful Savior. And that in the book of the Hebrews, it gives us this statement. Let me see if I can turn over real quick and read to you in the book of Hebrews about what it means that he is a wonderful Savior. In chapter number 7 and verse 25, listen to what it says. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let me read that first phrase again. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. He is a powerful Savior. He can save anybody. I look at that word uttermost. I hadn't used that word in a long time that I know of. So I took my old Webster dictionary down and looked it up. You know the little phrase utmost and uttermost or kin. If you have any people who are experts in grammar, you understand one is an adverb and one is a noun, but they're same root, same meaning. What does it mean? He can save you to the uttermost. Here's what it means. It means to the extreme. It means to the furthest point, the greatest or the highest degree, the most that can be, and the greatest power, degree, or effort. It means to go beyond any compass. It means to go far out as you can go, and like Buzz Lightyear said, to infinity and beyond. It means to be complete or extreme, complete, total, final, perfect. He said his salvation is to the uttermost. It means extreme. It means powerful. It means complete. It means total. It means final. It means perfect. In other words, it don't get no better than that. You can't get it saved any better than him saving you. And it is a perfect salvation because he's a perfect Savior. But he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. As I was reading and looking at that definition and writing down a few words to help me remember it, what it means, I thought about, it says to go beyond the compass, to the outer limits, to the extreme. And I got to thinking about, it means this. I don't care how far down you go. David said, if I descend into hell, thou art there. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. He's so powerful. He could reach right down to the depth and to the door of hell and save you out. You could get to where nobody loved you, nobody cared, even your family, and you were gone. You were in such bondage, you hated yourself. You couldn't even stand yourself. But he can reach right down to the very depths. He's so powerful. As low as you can sing, as wicked as you can be, as much as you've ruined and wasted your life, he can reach down and he can save you to the uttermost, from the lowest point to the highest point, all in one stroke of grace by faith. He can make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. That deserves an amen. I don't care who said it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just bless his name. To the uttermost, to the extreme, perfect, full, forever. It's how he saves people. He's powerful enough to break every bondage, every yoke, and bring you to salvation. He's able. He is a powerful Savior. He's powerful in that who can save? Who can he save? Anybody. He can save anybody that will believe. And he said this to those who come to God by him. If you come to Jesus Christ and you trust Christ, you get to go to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. He'll save you to the extreme. He'll save you to the uttermost if you'll but believe on him and trust in him and ask him to forgive you of sin and to save you. And what a wonderful thing that is. Oh, he's able, my dear friend, to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. He's able to save. He is a powerful Savior. But I want to turn quickly over to the little book of Jude. If you have your Bible, turn over to the little book of Jude. It's right in front of Revelation. You'll find it. You'll probably get there before I do. But in the little book of Jude, I want to share this with you in verse number 24. Verse number 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, being be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forevermore. Notice what it says. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. He's so powerful that he can save you to the extreme. And he's so powerful that he can keep you from falling. Falling. He can keep you from falling and present you faultless. My dear friend, I've been saved a long time. In time, I've done things that were not right. But he's been keeping me. You know what Paul said? Paul said he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And he's so powerful that he can take people like me and you who get saved, who don't live just exactly like they ought to, and one of these days he's going to present us to the Father. The Bible said here, and to present us faultless, absolute, no spot, no, Bible said in Revelation, no spot, no wrinkle. He's going to do that. I'm not going to get any credit for it at all. He'll get all of it because He's a powerful Savior. He reached down and saved me and brought me from the lowest to the highest to the uttermost. And He's able to keep me now that I've been saved. I don't have to fight Him. I don't have to struggle. I'm just going to be obedient to Him and serve Him. But my eternal destiny is already fixed because He's a powerful Savior. The Bible said we are kept by the power of God. My dear friend, I don't keep myself saved. He keeps me saved. And He's going to present me one of these days faultless. He's able. But also, He's able to meet every need I've got. He's a powerful Savior. He's able to keep every promise. He's able to do all this. But in the book of Philippians, it says that He's so powerful that He can subdue all things unto Himself. And Paul, in writing to the Philippian church, he's writing to the church in regard to something very special. And I want to turn over and read that to you. I don't want to just quote it to you. In chapter 3, verse 21, I'm going to read this real quickly. It says this, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like to His glorious body, according to the working wherewith He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." He's so powerful that not only did He save my soul to the uttermost, not only does He keep me from falling, but one of these days He's going to give me a brand new body like unto His glorious body because He's powerful. I have on many occasions as a pastor in 57 years, stood by the bedside with moms and dads, with husbands or wives, and hear a doctor say, "We've done all we can do. I'm sorry." Jesus never will say that. He's able to subdue all things in Himself. And while your loved one's body may look deteriorated to you, you just wait. There'll be a time when the doctors will say, "I can't do anything else. It's over with." But Jesus is going to give us a body. He is able to change us and give us a body like in His glorious body. He's a powerful Savior. The only way you get to go to heaven is by believing in Him. But He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God through Him. He's able to keep you from falling as a Christian. And He's able to present you faultless before the Father because He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. You have a powerful Savior. Would you bow your heads in prayer as the musicians come and we begin to share with you an invitation? Christmas is a wonderful time. I often share a very personal story about my family. I'm not going to do that this morning, but let me simply say this. My wife has been shopping for some time. She's been working herself to death over the last week or so, getting everything ready for our family on Christmas Eve. And she's had the dining room already set up for 29 people. That's beautiful. She'd been wrapping gifts. They all piled up, all jumbled everywhere, the UPS store at my house, like yours. But somewhere in all of that stuff, she knows where the youngest grandbaby's gift is at. And she's wrapped every one of them, just about. And she wrote their name on it. And in all the piled up, jumbled mess of this world, He knows where you are. And He's got something very special for you this morning in the media audience and in this building. I'm telling you, I'm from Halifax County, North Carolina. I've been in the country most all my life. I love it. Nothing unique or special about me at all, except one thing, and that's Jesus. The day we had the funeral for our oldest daughter, who died just before she was 3 years old with leukemia, my brother came to Regina's mom and daddy's house. He was broken, as was all of our family, about Christy dying. But more than that, the Holy Ghost of God had dealt with him. And he said, "Billy, I've been around here for 3 days. I've seen something in you and Regina and the folks from Calvary Baptist Church that I don't have." And I said to him, "Howard, the only thing I've got that you don't have is Jesus. He's all you need." And to you in this building and in the media audience this morning, I have good news for you. Of great joy, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That message was delivered many years ago, but it's still a great message. There's a Savior born unto you. He came for you. He came to die for you. He loves you. He'll save you. He'll make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Heavenly Father, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God, precious Spirit, to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment and draw. I pray, God, that you draw men and women, boys and girls in the building and in the media audience. And right now, for the first time in their life, they would cry out to you from the depths of their heart, knowing that you're a powerful Savior. You're able to save unto the uttermost all those who come to God by you. And as they come to you, Lord Jesus, to ask you to forgive them of their sin, Lord, I know the mighty power you have to save them to the uttermost. God, please do that. God, for those of us who are saved, I want to thank you for the greatest and the unspeakable gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation by him. Help me to be faithful to you, Lord. God, I do pray that God, some word this morning in this building, media audience, the Holy Ghost of God spoke to hearts, and somebody will receive the greatest Christmas gift they've ever had of eternal life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.